Welcome to Truth for Today, the Bible Explained, a Christian ministry program that endeavors to rightly divide the word of truth in order to challenge, encourage, and edify listeners. Today, we continue our talks on Meditations on the Person of the Lord Jesus, with Paul Thompson speaking on The Risen Ruler.
Most countries in the world have been crying out for their leaders to take control and show strong leadership during the worldwide pandemic of COVID-19. They are expected to make correct judgments, to save lives and livelihoods. They are expected to provide for everyone and meet their needs. I would not like to be in their shoes. It must be a thankless task. How can they know all the answers? Yes, they have the best scientific and medical advisors that can be hired, but even they are not sure about this unknown virus. Some rulers have shown strong leadership. Borders have been closed. People have been locked in their homes, and those most at risk have been shielded. Other leaders have chosen to try and appease the majority. People all over the world have felt vulnerable, scared while searching for comfort and answers. Unfortunately, many have lost their lives. The dictionary says that a ruler is a person who exercises government or dominion. Other words used to describe are leader, sovereign, monarch, potentate, crowned head, head of state, lord, despot, dictator, or tyrant. Just think for a moment of the number of rulers the world has now, and consider how many rulers there have been over time. Every ruler is different. Some show wonderful dignity and are respectable, whilst others are unjust, liars, murderers, extortionists, and manipulators. The Bible tells us that every ruler has been and will be appointed by God. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Romans 13, verse 1. So, the rulers in our different countries have been appointed by God. I must admit I find this difficult. Why does God allow certain rulers to do what they did? I am sure we can think of many in history. The Bible says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways." Romans 11, verse 33. Who am I to question God? God is sovereign, and as a Christian, I believe that everything he does is for my good. Thomas Jefferson once said, "You always get the rulers you deserve." In John 18, verses 33 to 40, Pilate gave the people a choice. Jesus, the righteous Son of God, the King of the Jews, or Barabbas, the thief? This world chose Barabbas. So we cannot complain about the lack of law and order when this world chose a thief and rejected a righteous king. The Lord said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Satan rules in this world today, but Jesus rules in the hearts of individual men, women, boys and girls who have accepted him as their saviour, Lord and future king. Our subject today is the risen ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ. We will consider his wonderful person, his humility, his power, and his future reign in this world. There are many texts in the Bible that speak about Jesus as being ruler, but he has not yet taken up this role. Please come with me and open your Bible at Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. The prophet Isaiah, over 700 years before the birth of Christ, was directed by God to make it known that salvation would come to God's people, the children of Israel, through his servant, his son, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He will be the one who will rule for Jehovah. Isaiah reveals the whole purpose of God. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which was not been told, them they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Verses 13 to 15 of chapter 52. It is so beautiful the way God refers to his son. Behold my servant. God saw the suffering of Christ, but he also saw the work of redemption complete and his appointed ruler reigning supreme over this world. The Lord Jesus was characterized by his servant attitude. He suffered for doing God's will, and in verses 1 to 3 of chapter 53, we see the humiliation of his birth and life, as well as the humiliation of his trial, his sufferings and death. Verses 4 to 9. When teaching his disciples, the Lord said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Matthew 20, verse 28. Jesus Christ, God's perfect servant, willingly gave himself as a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. The Father was pleased, not that his Son suffered, but that his sacrifice accomplished eternal salvation. God's justice was satisfied, and believing sinners can be justified. Verse 11 and Romans 3 verses 21 to 31. Jesus humbly entered the world as a baby in Bethlehem. There was no pomp or ceremony that a king or ruler would have rightly expected, but heaven declared his greatness and glory to a few shepherds. I am reminded of a lovely hymn which speaks volumes of the character of God's servant. From heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live. There in the garden of tears, my heavy load he chose to bear. His heart with sorrow was torn, yet not my will, but yours, he said. Come, see his hands and his feet, the scars that speak of sacrifice, hands that flung stars into space, to cruel nails surrendered. This is our God, the servant king. He calls us now to follow him, to bring our lives as a daily offering of worship to the servant king. Throughout the life of Jesus Christ on this earth, his wonderful character was undeniable. Let me remind you of what others said about Jesus. Those in the temple at Nazareth, and all spoke well of him and marvelled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Luke 4 verse 22. Even the chief priests and the Pharisees were amazed. The officers answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." John 7, verse 46. The woman at the well of Samaria said, "Come see a man who told me all that ever I did. Can this be the Christ?" John 4, verse 29. The soldier at the cross. "Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly this man was innocent.'" Luke 23, verse 47. Some words of a hymn express the character of the Lord Jesus far better than I can. "Fairer than all the sons of men, beyond all praise of tongue or pen, thou peerless one, in grace, in patient tenderness, in truth, in holy faithfulness, thine equal none. Matchless, incomparable, divine, in Jesus all perfection shine. O blessed name, how shall we tell its worth abroad? How tell the praises of our Lord, or spread his fame?" We have discovered that the risen ruler who graced this earth over 2,000 years ago has not yet taken up this role. When will he take up this position? Jesus came humbly into this world. He was hated and rejected by his people. He was killed, but thank God he raised him from the dead. The risen Christ spent a few more days here, revealing to his own that he was risen, alive and about to go back to his Father in heaven. And that is where he is today. The Bible tells us, "The Lord says to my Lord, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.'" Psalm 110, verse 1. One day, God will tell the Lord Jesus that it is time to claim my kingdom. Psalm 110 continues to explain more about what the risen ruler, Jesus Christ, will do. The Bible makes clear the order of events that will take place when Jesus will come as the risen ruler. First, he will come into the air and claim every true Christian, both dead and alive, and transport them into his presence. See 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18. Only those who belong to Jesus will be raised, and no one else will be aware of this event until it has happened. Secondly, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus will come a second time into this world to claim the kingdom for God. "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him." Even so, amen. Revelation 1, verse 7. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. Luke 21, verse 27. The first time Jesus came, he came himself, quietly, humbly, and willingly, to serve his Father by giving up his life as a sacrifice for sins. The second time he comes, he will come with every believer he claimed as belonging to himself, those he had died for. What a scene that will be. The Bible tells us that his feet shall touch the Mount of Olives. Ordinary men and women, boys and girls, will recognise him. They will recognise that he was the one they rejected. They will be inconsolable, and they will realise their plight. The Lord Jesus will reclaim this world for God by force. The Lord Jesus will face opposition. Psalm 2 tells us that the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Rulers of this world will form an alliance against him and unleash all their military might. The psalm continues to explain how the rejected king will smash them to pieces and reclaim his kingdom and establish his rule over the nations of this world. The conflict will be short, and God will set up his king in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ must reign. Of that there is no doubt. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who puts all things in subjection under him. When all things are subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 28. God will set up his kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ, his anointed one, the risen ruler, having all authority, and he will reign supreme. He will reign in righteousness. He will be the greatest ruler of all. The earth itself will flourish. The lion and the lamb will lie down together, and there will be world peace. Men and women will live in respect for each other. Children will be able to play without their parents being concerned for their safety. The millennial world will be an amazing place to live in, because God has his ruler in the place of authority. What a wonderful God we have. In contrast to the millennial kingdom, the world we live in today is ruled by Satan. Come with me to John 12, verse 31, which tells us that Satan is the ruler of this world. How can this be? We have already mentioned that God is in control, and he is, but as long as people remain guilty of their sins, Satan retains his grip on humanity. But verse 32 tells us, when Jesus was lifted up from the earth, referring to his crucifixion, which was the death penalty due for those sins, Satan's grip is loosened, and Christians from all peoples are drawn to Jesus for salvation that is in and through him. Then we go on to see in the chapter that through salvation, which is the forgiveness of sins, the Christian walks in the light of Jesus, and not in the darkness of sin and the grip of Satan. Dear friend, if you have not already accepted Christ as your Saviour, I must warn you that the Lord Jesus is reaching out to you at this moment. He will only knock at your heart's door so many times. Then he will move on. He wants to enter your life now. He wants to have a relationship with you. But this will only happen if you accept him as your Saviour. you're in a sinful condition, and the Lord Jesus cannot enter in. You must come to him believing in faith and in repentance of your sins. The Bible tells us that now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. The reason I warn you about this is because the risen ruler, God's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one we have been considering in this talk, is the one who died for you on the cross. I plead with you not to reject his loving call. Let us look a little closer at the future ruler, his kingdom, his power, and his people. There are many examples of men who ruled in the Bible. Think of Moses. He ruled Israel for many years. Israel was in slavery. The people were miserable. But God in his power instructed Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. Think about Joseph, who is often thought about as a picture of the Lord Jesus. He suffered. He was cast out by his brothers, sold to slavery and wrongly accused, yet in God's time he raised him up to rule over all the land of Egypt and be the saviour of his people. And what about Daniel? He lived as a captive in Babylon, but God, in his purpose, had a plan for him. He was appointed by God, and he had authority over the whole province of Babylon. Moses, Joseph, and Daniel were good people, good rulers, appointed by God for his purpose and for the protection, care, and blessing of his people during their era. They were good servants of God, upright and righteous, who ruled in the fear of God. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 72, where we read of the reign of King Solomon over Israel. Solomon was appointed king after his father David. Solomon's reign gives us a glimpse of what the reign of Christ will be like. Solomon prayed for blessing on his reign when he followed David. As a young man, Solomon knew he could not succeed without the help of the Lord. The psalm also pictures our Lord Jesus when he reigns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Solomon asked for wisdom to administer justice to his people, verses 1 to 7, and God granted his request, 1 Kings 3. His reign was like a refreshing shower that made the earth fruitful and beautiful, 2 Samuel 23, verses 1 to 7. Peace and security prospered while Solomon was on the throne, and Israel's domain was extended. Verses 8 to 11, a prayer of Solomon, offers a future view of the Lord Jesus and his glorious reign yet to come. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May desert tribes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the coastlands render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations serve him. The Lord will not need to ask for wisdom to rule. The wise one, the righteous one himself, will judge people correctly. Protection will be given to the weak and strong. Mighty men's knees will weaken and they will bow down to the Lord. The Lord is concerned about everything. Men, women, children, the unborn, property, animals. This is his creation, and he has the right to take control and manage things correctly. In verses 16 to 19, we understand that the earth will flourish. There will be an abundance of grain in the land, even on the top of the mountains of Lebanon, and people will blossom in the cities. Then we read of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. May his name endure forever, his fame continue as long as the sun. May people be blessed in him. All nations call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Dear friend, I pray that while we have considered the risen ruler, the Lord Jesus Christ, that your hearts have been drawn out to him in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are a Christian, I pray you will be encouraged by the beauty of your Saviour, and you will praise his name. If you're not a Christian, I pray that you will ask him to come into your life, and you too can have the joy of sins forgiven and a secure future with Christ. May God bless you today. Thank you for listening to the Truth for Today talk on meditations on the person of the Lord Jesus, the risen ruler. Talk number T1162.